This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN, rolling in here on a Tuesday, much like on Monday yesterday, with plenty to talk about because there's plenty going on in the world of sports, including Brian Kelly, shaka, shaka. He's leaving Notre Dame. Wow, this was big news. 10 years, $95 million, and he's already changed up the Twitter bio. We were talking about Brian Kelly and Notre Dame still having a chance at the college football playoff and maybe at the an outside chance, you would say that, they would need some help. Of making the final, still playing for a national title. And Brian Kelly, here he is up and moving on to LSU. And like we said, 10 years, $95 million, the man is going to be paid. That Twitter bio has already been changed. He's on to Baton Rouge. Oklahoma has introduced Lincoln Riley. USC has introduced Lincoln Riley. I got to get used to it. He is no longer the Oklahoma coach. Some would say he's scared of the SEC. We will get into that and what my partner John Martin thinks. Is he one who thinks Lincoln Riley is scared of the SEC? Reports were he didn't think Oklahoma was ready. Wonder if that had anything to do with it. Memphis Grizzlies be back in action tonight, looking to avenge a 13-point loss to Toronto last week, where Toronto came back from a double-digit deficit. Precious Achiuwa was part of that. Hopefully they'll get their revenge tonight without Ja Morant. And then finally, the Memphis Tiger football team's officially accepted their invitation, John, to the Hawaii Bowl.
Hawaii.
You like
for
that?
Those kids. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Calvin Austin III is going to be in studio with us tomorrow before they shove off to Hawaii.
Can't wait.
Yeah, he obviously has a fantastic story, Calvin does. And, I happen to know also that he's a listener of the show. And so, I say, we got to salute the young man. We got to bring you in. Quite the improbable career, right? Going from walk-on to being one of the most prolific and productive wide receivers in his short, basically 2 years, right? As a full-time starter there. So, but I guess, there's a precedent for that. Anthony Miller did it, who's now on the active roster for
Anthony
the Pittsburgh
Miller
Steelers.
Never got those NIL deals, though.
That's right. He could not get those NIL
deals.
That's
how their stories are different.
So Calvin has one-upped him in many ways. Anyway, we'll have him in studio tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Let's talk about today. At 11:25 today, her national nightmare is over. Jessica Benson does indeed have a coach in her alma mater. So you got Lincoln Riley, you got Boogie Ellis. Things are looking up for the USC Trojan Athletic Department. I don't believe USC basketball has lost a game this year, Coach. I believe they're undefeated.
Why are you calling me Coach?
you're kind of a coach.
No, on the field. No.
Are you
so used to talking to coaches now that that's coming? That's in your lingo now. You're calling everybody coach.
I just call everybody. Yeah.
Nah, 5 years been doing the show. You haven't been calling me coach.
I just call everybody coach now.
Strange.
Everybody's a coach. In their own lives. You're the coach of your household.
USC's 6-0.
And it's falling apart.
Up to number 12 at Kempom.
We're thinking about making some changes.
Our household's doing great.
Yeah, your household is absolutely falling apart.
Fulfilled is how I would put it.
Well, it starts with coordinators, and then it works its way up. So be on the lookout for some changes in the Smith household, Coach.
Okay.
Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to her, obviously, about that, how happy she is. It's a fan. I mean, look, there's no two ways about it. It's as good a hire as you could ever hope to make in college sports, It just is. It's like when Texas hired Shaka Smart, back if you think back, to that time, it ended up working out. But mm-hmm. It was like, this is genius. This is a great hire. Sometimes things look better on paper than they do in practice. Hard to see Lincoln failing, though. It's hard to see Lincoln with the way he plays and the way he coaches and the kind of guys he gets. Hard to see him failing there.
You think he was scared?
I think he was running from the SEC.
I alluded to it there in the open.
I think Lincoln was absolutely running from the SEC, and I think he was smart to do it. Absolutely. I'd have done the same damn thing.
Well, I think he's smart to do it because USC can be a better job than Oklahoma.
Why do I want to go
when you got the right quarterback
to a league where I got to contend with Nick Saban, I got to contend with Lane Kiffin, I got to contend with all reports are that Billy Napier's going to be a future star at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would I want to do that when I can just go to USC and basically have a path to the champ? All I got to do is get through Oregon every year. That's it. You know, who else am I worried about in the Pac-12? So, yeah, I think it was – I think, yes, two things can be true. He was running from the SEC, and he was wise to do that. So, anyway, we'll get into all that with Jessica Benson at 11:25. Ask her why her new coach is scared of competition. Then at 1:25, Barrett Jones is going to join us. Barrett Jones, of course, three-time national champion at Alabama. He's from ECS right here in Memphis. That's where he played his high school football. So we'll talk to him about all the crazy things that are going on in college football. Get his thoughts on the Iron Bowl. Get his thoughts on Alabama's chances versus Georgia.
You got openings at Oklahoma, Notre Dame.
You counting out Saban already? I've sort of heard you intimating that you don't give Alabama any kind of chance at all.
I watched that Iron Bowl, dude. How in the world are they going to block Georgia?
It was just they didn't take it seriously.
They couldn't block Auburn.
They knew how bad Auburn was, man. Their backup quarterback's in there. They didn't care. Like, we can just turn on whatever.
You do
we
that
want.
For a quarter where you don't take a Nick Saban coach team doesn't do
no,
that
it was
for
weird.
Four quarters.
I agree. It was very weird.
So, how you going to. And frankly, I'm glad you touched on it. If you could give the Heisman out to someone right now, you'd probably give it to the whole Georgia defense because that's what's been the most dominant thing in college football, quite frankly. It's an individual award, but if you could give out the Heisman, it'd be to that Georgia defense, which is going to be has been all season unblockable. Yeah. How's Alabama going to do that? They couldn't
Absolutely.
Block Auburn.
Yes. So we already know that you are giving Nick Saban, a Nick Saban coach team, no chance in the SEC championship game. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I wouldn't say no chance because, like I said, Nick Saban really going to lose twice.
Yep.
That said, this Georgia team is made to beat that Alabama team has not gotten better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I agree.
Offensively, it's like regressed.
Yeah, but it's Nick Saban with time to prepare.
Okay. What's it, 6.5?
Is that the line is?
Mm-hmm. Gone up from like 4.5 earlier.
You know, let's not act like Georgia is just this, like offensively, like they can't be stopped.
They're fine, and no one is scoring on that defense.
Kentucky scored on that defense.
How many?
I think they got a touchdown, and Tennessee did as well. In the first quarter.
They've allowed like fewer than 100 points on the whole season.
Hey,
what are you talking about?
It can be done. It can be done. Bryce Young is a beast, man.
I'm not doing this with you.
Have they seen a quarterback like Bryce Young, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
Because they saw the best. Clemson's the best team they've beaten, right?
And then
Ned, Lord knows Bryce Young better than DJ.
And then, you know, Hendon Hooker, you know, he's okay. He's fine. He ain't no Bryce Young is composed in that pocket. Bryce Young makes good decisions. He's a winner, coach. He's a winner.
Stop calling me coach.
You a coach today. You a damn
I'm
coach today.
I'm the opposite prime.
Anyway, that is the show today. We didn't do it yesterday because y'all wanted to call in and bake Penny. I thought that was just absolutely y'all should be embarrassed for the way y'all talked about Penny Hardaway yesterday, y'all callers. So we didn't get a chance to do.
I thought most of the criticism was fair. I didn't think he was getting cooked or baked.
No, he's one of our own. I thought that was ridiculous. But we didn't have a chance to do cap or no cap. So we're going to do that now.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
Or no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John show.
All right, we'll get the LSU theme fired up here as Brian Kelly leaving for Notre Dame using his iPhone notes and text. Cap or no cap, Brian Kelly did Notre Dame wrong. Cap or no cap?
I suppose this is alluding to what the group text he sent. That's basically, hey, I love you guys, going to meet. Couldn't tell you. I'm sorry you found out this way.
Yes.
We'll meet tomorrow and we'll talk about it.
Yes.
And apparently that meeting this morning was about 11 minutes long. What do you think he said to those boys? And how many of them do you think showed up?
Well,
because I would not have if I was a Notre Dame player. I'll be real honest with you.
Yeah, I would definitely say you didn't respect me enough. You didn't care enough. But first of all, like, the answer is no cap that he did Notre Dame wrong. He did those players wrong the way that he conducted. I mean, you're supposed to be setting an example, right? You're supposed to help these young men grow and mature into adults. And the way that
I'm interested to hear what the better way is.
The better way would be to stay through with your team that has a chance to legitimately make the playoff.
Man, you know Woodward's itching down there.
Man, like, he can wait.
Like he's sitting there with that $95 million check 10 years and saying, I got
– He can wait.
He's Mr.
If
Big
he
Splash.
Wants me, he
oh,
can
no,
wait.
No, you're not making
if
Woodward
he wants
wait.
Me, I'm going to make him wait because I have a team of men.
That's ridiculous. That you don't owe that. This is the nature of college football. Somebody's feelings are going to get hurt, frankly, and that's just the way it is. There are always these moments.
But if that job really wants you, they can't wait 2 weeks? Seriously?
Hell yeah, they can – John, they can't afford to right now. You got the early signing period now. Recruiting's important to LSU. Because why? Because they can recruit with the best of them. So getting in your guy, particularly after USC's made this move, like you want to. Woodward had to go make a big splash, especially with everybody talking about USC right now. He couldn't continue to wait. And so he struck when the time was right. He made Brian Kelly an offer he couldn't refuse
You think that it was acceptable for Brian Kelly to leave his team.
I just think there's no good way to do this. All of these go down like this.
He left those kids high and dry. 100%.
All of these go down like this. Not just the kids, apparently his own
assistants. Not like this.
Oh, stop. Like, you telling me some of those kids
in the playoff?
You telling me some of those kids when Fuente left weren't mad at him here at Memphis?
Yeah, but he waited till the end of the season. The
kids always are going to get hurt. You make promises that always get broken. You tell that family, I'm going to take care of your kid for 4 years.
Fuente, by the way,
you don't know if you're going to be there all 4 years.
Fuente was so pissed off that news got out that he didn't have a chance to tell his team. I remember I was there, the press conference. He was so mad that that got leaked that he didn't have a chance to tell his seniors. I don't think Brian Kelly clearly didn't give a damn. He had every opportunity to tell his team.
So Lincoln Riley did it in a better way?
No, I don't.
Like it's all you're going to hurt somebody's feelings one way or the other.
Oklahoma lost in Bedlam. They're not going anywhere.
When this thing comes together the way it did, it was going to leak somehow. You're hoping to keep it. No, it's going to get out.
Well,
and it got out before he could get his folks informed.
He could have done
that. It's going to happen all the time.
He could have told them. He knew it was going to leak. He could have told them.
And folks are going to understand, just like they understood for Fuente, eventually a week from now, 2 weeks from now, you know what? That was an opportunity he couldn't pass up.
I think the context
is important. He had hit his ceiling at Notre Dame. He had hit his ceiling. He kept running into the Clemsons and the Alabamas. He wasn't going to get past them.
What if they make the playoff then? Is he going to?
I'm not going to argue this with you. It was always going to be. It always gets uncomfortable in these spots. Always.
But could he have done it?
But show me the better way. There is no playbook on this.
He could have told his team before it got out.
I don't care about it.
He could have told it.
It's the nature of it.
And then he said, you could have take that group text and shove it up your ass. I don't need that. That was insulting.
Who cares? He has to get the business of his next job done before he can inform those kids.
Okay, well,
it happens all the time.
He clearly got it done. He had plenty of time before it got out and when it got done.
And if you know he's leaving, if it gets out, John, that he's taking the job, what happens then when he's hanging around? How do those kids feel about him then when he's telling them, oh, no, I'm not. How does he treat it in those weeks to next week?
You can sell that. I'm staying here because I want to see this through with you guys.
John, you're talking about selling it like his brand has been hurt with this. The only person that's hurt is you.
Well, no, Dan
he's down there getting paid.
Dan Wolken wrote a whole piece where he said this completely changes the paradigm of the sport.
He's always been considered arrogant, though. That's my point. Is it doesn't change, hasn't changed his value one bit. He's going to go down there and shine at LSU.
Wow.
I don't care about the few kids whose feelings are hurt. Kids can transfer. Coaches leave all the time.
But he doesn't care about those
kids. This is some of that Cal stuff you're still hurt by. Guys, it's the system. This is still Cal calling the players.
Cal didn't leave in the middle of a tournament run.
As the Memphis coach, calling the players as the Memphis coach and taking those guys, spending a little extra time.
This would be like John Calipari leaving for Kentucky in the middle of the Conference USA tournament.
You're big boys, man. It happens all the time. And you probably had a pretty good idea that, listen, when these coaches tell you they're going to be taking care of you for 4 or 5 years, that you might not have them all 4 or 5 years. This stuff happens all the time in college athletics.
It does.
Promises are broken.
But has it ever happened?
And why do we care more about the Notre Dame kids?
Has it ever?
I don't.
Well, first of all, they're men of God. Secondly, has it ever happened with a team that is this close to being a playoff team in the middle of the season with games left to be played? Has it ever happened before like this? The answer is no. It's never happened like this.
But leaving them while they have a potential still to be a playoff team to make the top four and all that, does that keep him from getting his next job, John? Does it piss off those kids down there in Baton Rouge, the ones he's got now, the recruits he's going to be getting? No! And that's the that unfortunately is the business of college football.
You don't care
y'all want to make college football about feelings and passion.
If I'm a parent.
And the fight song and all that. What have we learned? Just like the NFL is a giant and a business and a monster, so is college football, and that's how this stuff goes down.
Well, Brian Kelly only cares about one thing, and that's Brian Kelly, and he made that crystal clear.
So I'm gonna do cap. He doesn't owe anybody anything.
Well, this is ridiculous. I mean,
Kelly owe Notre Dame kids?
He owes them.
He went and met with them this morning.
Nobody wants to meet with him this morning. Nobody cares about that this morning.
If you don't do the meeting, then I'm with you. You just went to Baton Rouge. F them kids. Then it's what you're saying, John Martin.
It's an obligatory meeting now.
It just got out before he could control it, and news like that was always going to. So what was he supposed to do? Come out and announce that he's taking the gig early? He couldn't.
It's a timing thing.
These always get ugly, and I'm not going to give Brian Kelly more grief for it than we give Lincoln Riley or anybody else.
But Lincoln Riley's team was not going to make the playoff. I don't care about the damn playoff.
Those
kids busting their ass trying to get to the playoff.
And you're talking about that is still within the realm of possibility. It's still unlikely.
It could happen.
You need Houston to beat Cincy.
Could happen. I mean, Cincinnati sometimes doesn't show up. You know, they have halves where they just kind of dilly dally.
Yeah, What else would you need? You need what? Alabama
to lose
to
again.
Lose.
Yeah, which is again
that one's possible.
Yeah. So I just, you know, you're a big Brian Kelly fan, which I'm finding out.
This is a business.
Yes.
Y'all trying to make it amateur athletics. Coaches owe kids.
It's a
kids
business where the
everybody
kids don't
can
get
move,
paid, though.
Take the feelings out.
Right?
What they can now.
Well, maybe if they get an NIL deal. They don't all get those. You know, where it's just all about Brian Kelly.
Notre Dame kids, don't worry. John Martin's going to come talk you off the ledge, all your damn feelings that he cares so much about.
I think those kids deserve better. That's what
I believe. We've spent too much time on this, and you're wrong.
Let's go to Memphis Hoops to our number 18 Memphis Tiger basketball squad, which dropped a game last week. Cap or no cap, we're going to fashion instead of analysis here. Memphis basketball is going to change the fashion game. Cap or no cap?
Is this about Lester?
Yeah, so Effortless, speaking of NIL deals, Lester Quinones has an NIL deal that he announced today with In-House Inc., okay? And I think you're going to be able to purchase a shirt or something. I think they'll roll it out, and you as a Memphis fan, you will have the opportunity to purchase these shirts, and there will be a full collection, I think, at some point.
Excited.
Will we see you in line for this?
You know, I don't buy anything for myself.
Well, I think this goes directly to Lester. You know, it's a direct sort of, you know, you put money back in his pocket. You know, you support the brand and a guy that's putting on for the University of Memphis. So,
you get me two.
Is it expensive, John?
I don't know
if we have any. I'm assuming it cannot.
Is it
possibly
a price point that is affordable for Memphians?
Let's look this up. So we're going to the website now.
You don't want to overprice it.
Right, he'll want all.
You have to know your audience, right?
Yeah, you got a target here. You want to make a little money.
It's a $30 shirt.
Oh, that's very affordable.
Yeah, and it's a shirt that just says, you know, Effortless.
You get half a pair of shorts.
I don't know if there's shorts yet. I'm assuming there will be.
Some of those 1970s.
That seems like an opportunity there to.
Yeah, I would go for the shorts if I'm Lester.
Well, so we were talking about NIL Beachwear deals, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about you know, Memphis not having any, right?
Mm-hmm.
By and large.
Yeah.
This is another opportunity for Memphis.
Is Nolly still doing the thing where he was writing something?
Yeah, I think I'm still waiting on that post, that first post.
Because I hadn't seen anything yet.
You know what I mean?
I haven't seen it.
There's a lot to get to.
Okay.
There's a lot for Landers to chronicle. Maybe he's just not up. You know, you get writer's block. You know, it's hard to put, you know, words on paper. I get it, brother. We've all been there. So you got that. And then I think, you know, without going too far into it, I think you could certainly expect to see some changes on the Memphis bench on Wednesday. Just more of a business approach, I think, is how I would sort of put it. So, you know, I think the answer is no cap. There will be a major change to the fashion game thanks to Memphis basketball. You know, Penny's a big
fashion
guy.
I'm going to defer to you.
Yeah.
You are the master of fashion when it comes to Penny. Didn't you do a big in-depth piece on Penny's fashions?
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
you're saying
I did.
That something's changing.
You know, Penny and I had a long conversation. We had a long conversation a couple years ago.
About
he said
suits.
He wanted to be the best dressed coach in college basketball. And if you notice, he has sort of been, I mean, everybody, right, for the most part, is doing the sweatsuit
thing. Since the COVID thing, haven't
but
they?
I'm really getting the sense that Penny wants to get back to his well-dressed roots.
I'm really starting to sort of get that sense that he wants to, you know, put back on. You know what I mean?
Like the Armani belts and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he had. Let me pull this up because it is actually very interesting.
Hermes.
He had belts of all time.
Very fashionable fella.
We were learning about style when John was doing that piece.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Mm-hmm. He did not wear the same suit twice that year. This was 2019. Yep. This was the 2018-19 season. I guess this would have been his first one, huh? Yep. Yeah, first season on the job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has a personal, you know, stylist, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And they handpick all of his fabrics, like you name it, tie bar, socks, cufflinks. Now this was two years ago. Obviously, I don't know if it's still the same. You know, and it's all the brands, you know, like Gucci, it's Ferragamo, it's Hermes, like you said, it's you know, all those kinds of brands. And so I think quite frankly, you know, you identify a problem, we got to get back to look good, play good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think people, I watched Mick Cronin because he dresses in a damn three-piece during those UCLA games. I don't know if it's Corona. I don't know about what y'all think of this. It seems weird watching dudes now. I know we're used to seeing Cronin in a suit, but it looks strange, especially if the other coach is wearing like a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
You know?
Most of college basketball just got more casual.
Yeah.
Like all of us.
And maybe khakis. We do get to gradually get back.
But, you know, I am a proponent.
You're saying Penny's going to be leading the way.
My personal opinion is, you know, let's look good.
Will this help us run sets? Or?
I think so.
Look
I think
good,
it will.
Coach good.
100%.
Oh,
I look good, play good, look 100%. Good, coach good.
Oh, I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Did Larry bring his suits?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if Larry has a suit or what. I don't know how that
you
works.
Just send him over to James Davis.
That's exactly.
That's who the deal is.
Yeah, Penny had his own line. You know what I mean? Penny had his own sort of thing going on at James Davis back in the day. I don't know if that's still around.
I think he still does.
Does he still? Yeah. Oh, because there hasn't been a need. You know, but I think, again, with sort of Lester and sort of what he's doing, you know, it's time to meet the moment, Coach. It is. It's time to meet the moment.
Let's get Larry some suits.
Let's get Larry some suits. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe that's in store this season. We shall see. But do I think Memphis is going to revitalize and revolutionize the fashion game? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm deferring on this one. I'm going to go that this changes. We're going to see something different.
You guys want to jump into the Grizzlies-Raptors game tonight? We have
Precious Achiuwa.
Precious Achiuwa tonight in Toronto. We're going to have the game early tip, by the way, 6:30, pregame at 6 o'clock here on 92.9. Precious Achiuwa, cap or no cap, is going to bone tonight.
I think he scored 17 in one quarter in the last game, helped turn that game around for them against the Memphis Grizzlies about a week ago. Was that
he
last
went off
Wednesday?
In that third quarter.
Went off. Was that? And listen, I'm thrilled for Precious in terms of the opportunity he's getting. We said that then when he got moved on from Miami over to Toronto that there would be more opportunity here, even though you liked the organization, obviously, with Miami, the coaching he's getting. Behind Bam Adebayo, though, there's only so much opportunity. There's more for that for him in Toronto. So, you know, individually, you root for Precious. That said, I think Grizzlies get him back. You know, and here they looked good against, you know, first time out without Ja against Sacramento. But I think there's an opportunity without Ja, this isn't in any kind of way to say that they're a better team without him, but at least defensively, right, up top, you can stop some things, right, when you don't have Ja Morant up there. So I hope they continue to play well there and get their revenge. Surely you can keep Precious Achiuwa from scoring 17 in one quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to play well. Most guys, when they come back, do. I don't think he's going to do it to that level.
Precious.
Well, that was here. This one's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so this ain't no come-home game.
You know, still right. Memphis, though,
yeah.
You know what I
mean? Well, that's why I'm saying he ain't going to do what he did last game.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I'm a big fan of Precious. Like, I always
We root for him.
I always liked the way that he conducted himself here in Memphis.
No question. The way he repped after that.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, I do. Like, I have a big soft spot for Precious because – you know, he was the dude who, in the wake of all the Wiseman stuff, like, he stayed down. And,
right.
I mean, he was freaking awesome. You know, he was awesome. He did everything for that team, you know. So I have a big soft spot for Preston Chua. And, you know, obviously I hope the Grizzlies win, but I hope he has a great game.
Yeah.
As a result. All right, we will come back. Jessica Benson's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about the hire of Lincoln Riley there at USC, get her thoughts on the Grizzlies without John Morant and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is happy, I would guess, today. Let's do it.
Now, it's Jessica Benson from the Grizzlies Radio Network and Rise and Grind host on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John Show.
What a time to be a Trojan, huh?
Wow. I feel such pride hearing that song for the first time in a minute. As I sit here in my USC shirt, throwing up a fight on, it's a good time to be a USC football fan once again, at least for now.
Well, why is it just about football?
I mean, I know. I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah, I mean, knew you were gonna go there. There's an entire athletic department.
Yes, the 6-0 men's basketball team as well. Big game against Utah to open conference play tomorrow, I believe. But
damn,
yeah,
that's early.
I don't want to say his name on this air, but
you can say it.
Boogie Ellis fitting in.
Yeah,
leading the Trojans this season.
We miss him. We miss him, absolutely. Okay, so on Lincoln Riley, I mean, it's certainly the best hire you guys have made since the days of Pete Carroll. Did you ever think you could get a guy like Lincoln Riley still?
No, 100% no. And first non-Pete Carroll assistant for USC since Pete Carroll moved on. So this really does represent a changing of the times at USC. Here I was trying to convince myself that Luke Fickell was going to be the sexy hire that USC needed, bring him over from Cincinnati. But when that news broke, it was shocking. It sent shockwaves through all of college football coverage, obviously. But even just seeing the reactions, I've received more texts about USC football in the last 3 days than I have in the 7 years since I graduated. And to hear people already planning on purchasing season tickets for next year, one of my friend's dads, who's a USC grad, did an immediate donation to the athletic department as a showing of gratitude for getting it so right. Obviously, once he starts coaching, once you see what that recruiting class looks like, it's a whole different ballgame. But for now, to just sit in the space of USC football being relevant is exciting, because it's a spot that they haven't been in, frankly, since they won the Rose Bowl back in 2017, but since those Pete Carroll days.
Will it be the mecca of college football? When he says that, are you, hey, man, I'm all for it? You know, we talked about national championships with Penny around here and promises too early. Is it sort of a slow your roll, coach, or are you all for the, hey, we're going to be the best thing in college football?
I'm all for it, okay. And at the very least, let's be the best thing on the West Coast, right? Because that's where I know the conversation around, is he scared of the SEC? Sure, be scared. Please, land at USC if you're scared of the SEC and bring that prevalence back to USC, have them be the leaders in the Pac-12, the leaders of the West Coast. And honestly, college football, and this is a incredibly biased opinion, but it's better when USC football is good. It's better when it stretches from coast to coast, and you have a situation where, yeah, you're competing with Oregon year in and year out. UW actually made a great hire yesterday, too, taking DeBoer from Fresno State. And I think that's a really good fit for them. But there is no better fit than a big name going back to USC football and trying to land them back on the map. And if he can maybe take some of those West Coast recruits that he was so actively pursuing to get to come to Norman as well, then that's just a bonus. Plus, you have Jackson Dart at quarterback. Like, the possibilities are endless.
Do you at all feel bad for the kids at, whether it's at Oklahoma or you do? But you do, and still realize that this is, I mean, it's just the way it's going to go, and there's no good way.
Yeah, I feel bad for the kids. I don't feel bad for the fans who are in their feelings in regards to trying to make it about the kids, because their feelings were hurt in the midst of it. But it is a business. Everything about this is a business. And when you even look at the hypocrisy of getting on Lincoln Riley for acting in the dark and going off and turning his back on Oklahoma, you can look at Oklahoma doing the exact same thing to the Big 12 when they in Texas operated to move into the SEC. It's just how it all works. I mean, yeah, it stinks that Brian Kelly wasn't able to break the news to his team himself and had to do it post the reports coming out in a text message, calling a 7 a.m. meeting this morning, which I would love to know how many people were in attendance for that 11-minute 7 a.m. meeting. But it is the nature of the business. And ultimately, when you see those paychecks, when you see the numbers, the $100 million contracts, like, how do you say no to that? That's remarkable money. And Lincoln Riley gets constant access in his family to the USC private jet, according to that report yesterday. So that's like unlimited PJ trip.
Let me read you. Let me have you react. I don't know if you've seen Dan Wolkin, who used to work here in Memphis. I don't know if you've seen his piece today, but he absolutely eradicated Brian Kelly. And I just want to read you what he says and what he wrote, and I would like to hear your reaction to it. This is what he said. Kelly bailed on one of six teams that still had a chance to win the national title. That's not just the action of a broken man. That's the product of a broken sport. And college football better get its arms around this insanity before the playoff expands to 12 teams, where theoretically there could be 20-plus schools still in the mix at the height of the coaching carousel. Last paragraph I'll read. ESPN or any other television network better think twice about spending billions of dollars on a product where coaches would rather chase big contracts for themselves than helping the unpaid amateurs etch their names in the history books. If the potential participants don't care, why should anyone else? What is your reaction to those three paragraphs?
First and foremost, the NIL is a great start, but college athletes, especially in college football, when you do see these contracts on the coaches' side of things, do have to have a way to make money within the sport. And I think we're shifting into a space where that conversation continues to move forward, where in the next 5 years, they will probably be getting paid to some degree. Now, that said, it's an unprecedented situation, because while Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma, Oklahoma's not in the mix at this point after losing the Bedlam game over the weekend to go to the college football playoffs. So now with Brian Kelly moving on from Notre Dame, according to reports this morning, trying to take his defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator with him, that's where it gets sticky. And then if you're looking at a Luke Fickell who's making the move over, then he's leaving a Cincinnati team in the mix of being the group of five, first group of five team to make the college football playoff. That's where it gets interesting, and I think it's a stickier situation. But let's be real, from the standpoint of, is the sport going to survive? Is the sport okay? Mm-hmm. The interest is still there. Who's not tuning into conference championship weekend this coming weekend? Who's not tuning into the college football playoff because of the situations regarding the coaching carousel? No one. If anything, it just brings more eyeballs in. The real housewives, like, mentality of the excess drama surrounding the sport, the pettiness surrounding college football, is what drives it into a category of its own, and it will continue to be just fine when it comes to people tuning in to watch.
What's the right move for Notre Dame here? Do you just hire Freeman and try to keep going what you got with him having been your defensive coordinator? Is there a no-brainer in terms of another name that you go after with him? It's a unique job. A lot of folks talking about today whether it's a, you know, it can't be better than LSU if Brian Kelly's leaving it. Is there a right hire, an obvious hire for Notre Dame?
My answer this morning on Rise and Grind was Marcus Freeman, and he was someone that I even looked at as a potential coordinator who could have moved and taken one of these big jobs. I wouldn't have been super mad if USC had looked at him prior to the big Lincoln Riley announcement. But now with the report that Brian Kelly wants to make him the highest paid defensive coordinator, then that completely changes it. And that's when Luke Fickell becomes the most obvious answer. I know everyone's off cracking their jokes about Urban Meyer, which are funny to read, but I do think Luke Fickell makes sense geographically in terms of him trying to make that next move, getting out of, well, it won't be the group of five since they're going to the Big 12, but I think Notre Dame is still in a better situation than Cincinnati moving into the new big, bad Big 12.
You know, here in Memphis, how do you wrap up this season here locally? And I guess just the future of the program, like, what's your perspective on where Memphis football is right now under Ryan Silverfield and where it's headed?
Well, I know much has been made about the bare minimum making a bowl game is an impressive feat in itself. Eight straight years with bowl appearances is nothing to turn down on. I don't care if it's the Hawaii Bowl or whatever bowl you're having the opportunity to go. And I'm excited that they're going to the Hawaii Bowl because it's a nice trip. It's a nice present to especially the seniors who have been so committed to this program and who doesn't love a trip to Hawaii. It's a great place to spend a holiday. But I think Memphis right now is on the precipice where getting to a bowl game is considered the bare minimum because you just can't get left out. When this becomes the ultimate, okay, who's in with the big power players, who gets left behind on the college football sphere, on the conference realignment space, Memphis can't afford to be one of those schools. So while making a bowl game this year is awesome, especially considered how topsy-turvy of a year it was, Ryan Silverfield knows. You saw the emotion. You heard the emotion from Ryan Silverfield following that win over Tulane over the weekend. Like, it felt like in that moment it all crashed down on him because he knew he had to make a bowl game. Now next year it's a matter of, okay, you have to get back into being the powerhouse premier program of the AAC.
What do you think for these Grizzlies with Ja Morant out? How optimistic are you that they can maybe do a little better than treading water without him? Sounds like it's going to be a couple weeks, Jess.
Yeah, can they play the Sacramento Kings every day?
That'd be nice.
can they just fill their schedule with games against the Kings? I know they have one against the Thunder coming up at home on Thursday, so that's a nice schedule helper as well. I think you have to replicate what you did do against the Kings, and that is obviously distributing those shots between Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane. And Jaren Jackson Jr. has a real opportunity tonight against this Raptors team that less than a week ago, Grizzlies let go of a double-digit halftime lead. Raptors came back. I know Precious Achiuwa made three threes. But in the first half of that game, what was working so well for the Grizzlies was Jaren Jackson Jr. in the post, controlling the paint, being more aggressive going to the basket, using his size advantage. And then he got in foul trouble in the second half, and they stopped going to him. But if you can bottle that up and put him in those positions tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think the Grizzlies could have a bounce back. The Raptors are still without OG Anunoby. I know Gary Trent Jr. is questionable going into tonight's game, so you just kind of have to weather the storm, and it's going to take consistency, which is something we have not seen yet from this team this season.
And then last thing, is too much being made of one November loss by the University of Memphis men's basketball team, or was I justified in trying to find the nearest bridge in Brooklyn to drive off of?
You guys were brutal yesterday. I listened to the whole stretch, but I understand, because there's a certain level of expectation that
there should be expectations.
I understand there should be, and the problem wasn't that they lost; the problem was how they lost. So, yeah, I think it's appropriate to be critical of that game against Iowa State, because that's a version of the team that you want to clean up immediately. You cannot turn over the ball that many times. You have to figure out what your point guard situation is if you want to move through the rest of the season on a positive note. You have huge, massive games. I would love to go to the Memphis-Tennessee game in a couple of weeks, but not if it's the team that just played against Iowa State. Mm. That could make for a very long, unfortunate day.
Hey, Jessica says you will not be seeing me in the crowd unless you guys clean it up. I like it. I like it. You're laying down the gauntlet for the University of Memphis basketball team. Hopefully it starts tomorrow. Jessica, always appreciate the time. Thank you,
JB.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, she is Jessica Benson. Catch her on Rise and Grind, the Grizzlies radio network here on 90.9 FM ESPN. Real quick, I don't even feel like, whatever. You know, we got 3 hours. We can do this.
If it's about Boogie, I don't want to talk about it.
It's not about Boogie.
All right.
Do I even need to say anything about Boogie anymore at this point? You can check the box scores. You can check the top 25, and you can see it for yourself. All right? But, like, people want to blame you and me. People want to blame you and me for...
No, I sort of resent that.
The perception or... You know, the preseason around the University of Memphis basketball team. And what I would say to that is, did Memphis not have the second best odds by at least one offshore book to go to the Final Four? Believe they had the second best odds in August, September. Did they not have the seventh or eighth best odds by every FanDuel, DraftKings, whoever you want to say, as the season was starting to get to the Final Four to win the championship? Jason and John don't set those odds. you know, bookmakers, traders, people whose jobs it is to evaluate and assess, okay, how talented is this team? What does the rest of the country look like? They do that, and they determine that Memphis had an unbelievable chance to go to the Final Four. I still think they have a chance if they can clean it up because the talent exists. The talent does, you know, it has not gone extinct. An asteroid didn't come out of the outer space and wipe it out.
Well, and you guys were harsh on Rothstein, and there were only a few that had these guys in the teens when it came to the rankings preseason.
Yeah, there were some. There were some non-believers.
One or two.
There were
and
some non-believers.
They had them at like 18, which is where they're at.
This is where they're at right now. But again, it is November, and I still believe in the talent. We've seen what they can do when they're all locked in. And there's a lot of season left to be played. But you know, this was not some sort of narrative that was created by us.
No,
this was the reality, and it's just sometimes the. You know, the games don't match the reality of the roster.
There's nothing to talk about here. Penny Hardaway will tell you they got a problem.
Yeah.
A problem that we addressed yesterday. And it seems like the majority of a great deal of the problem is self-inflicted. Is Penny Hardaway telling you at halftime, I'm subbing too much. That's what we were talking about yesterday was, well, when we're talking about roles and guys getting comfortable, when you're subbing too much,
right.
you're sort of fighting against that.
That's
what
right.
you're trying
yes.
to get to,
right.
it seems like in terms of your approach, you're fighting against. And
yeah.
pointing that out is not burying Penny. It's not burying the program or anything else. This is something that's been going on for 3 years. What would you say if you've got somebody in your family who's got an issue, sit up here, has got an addiction, whatever else? Would you sit there and let it continue, or would you call it out?
You would have an intervention.
You would have an intervention.
You would bring everybody around
and that's
a big circle.
Now, Penny already realizes the problem,
yeah.
and he's telling you what the issue is, but that's what we sit here and just be, oh, yeah, there they are again for the third straight year. Turnovers is going to probably maybe kill this thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
again, it's not killing your chances at a tournament, because I tell you, they can stay where they are with turnovers.
Oh, no doubt.
They're still
going to
make a tournament, but that was never the goal this
never.
Year with this kind of
right.
elite
never.
Talent. It's always been about making the second weekend.
Oh, yeah. Let's be clear.
And Brad, I would still tell you from a talent standpoint, this is still a top 10 outfit.
Oh,
I mean,
I agree with that 100%.
Alabama's lost to Iona.
There's no question.
You know, you've got teams with bad losses, but clearly there is an issue that's continued from year after year to. For whatever reason, Penny can't get it licked. And for those that it held them out because of that, Rothstein, all that, you look at them right now, you say it was fair. You can't really say that it's unfair at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
no, I agree.
Because, again, for as...
Seth Davis has him out of the top 25
as
total.
Much as we've yeah. lauded Penny for what he's done on defense, and he should be. And I'm with John. That's the reason why I know this guy can coach. You
yeah.
can get elite-level players. Your identity has just as much been... as bad as you as careless you've been with the ball, right? Your identity is you're a great defensive team. Just as much it's been you're terrible when it comes to taking care of the ball. That's been just as much as of your identity as your defense has, and that's what you've got to get licked right now.
Yeah,
that's not baking Penny or cooking anyone at
Nobody's
all.
Nobody's getting cooked.
That's pointing out the issues that, frankly, he's already identified. He's got to get licked himself.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think either one of us was coming on here before the season started and said, well, you know what, even if the turnovers problem doesn't change and even if the rotation issues don't figure themselves out, Memphis is still going to make the Final Four. No, we assume they'd get better. We assume that there'd be some changes. We assume there'd be some improvement. Sue us.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been. But I think there still could be.
There has to be. You
there
cannot
must
let
be.
This ruin, you know, what could be a special season.
Yeah. So anyway, the one thing that I just push back on is all of a sudden, like, just let come what may, you know, whatever this season will be, let it be. No, this was a season where you assembled one of the most talented teams in college basketball. You don't get to just sit back and let it breathe and, you know, we'll check back in February. That's just not the way it works in this place. It's just not.
The fix seems there. That's the issue. It seems so easily fixed by, okay, shorten the rotation like you wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this can be fixed.
Anyway, thanks to Jessica Benson for joining us here on the show. We have a lot more to get to today. Barrett Jones is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the SEC, about college football, all the coaching moves, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
ESPN.
Can I depend on a man? I slotted some bread in the jam. It's just who I am. Custom just
back to the news yesterday, as we got off the air, after we got off the air, was that Brian Kelly taking the job at LSU. And we've talked about sort of the way it was done and the, you know, the manner in which Brian Kelly kind of conducted himself on the way out. But we have not really talked about.
What a jerk.
Yeah. Well, I think he is a jerk.
Okay.
I think he is.
It's fair. You've said it.
Yeah. But he is headed to LSU. We have not talked about just the merit of the hire itself.
Right.
Do you like it?
Do I like it? I love it.
You love it.
Dude's a winner.
You don't like it. You love it.
He's a winning. He's won at every level he's been at.
Yeah.
You might not like his arrogance, John, or how he talks them kids,
I
how
don't.
He does them kids. You say he's effed them kids.
As he does.
Let me tell you what. He's going to be like, you remember like how Penny was when he was at East? Remember how Mike Miller was when he was at Houston?
Mm-hmm.
There was a gravitational pull, wasn't there? Like
yeah.
a magnet.
Facts.
Kelly's going down there. Guy who you know is a good coach. Right? You couldn't even say that truly about Ed Orgeron or Les Miles. But what you could say about those two coaches is that they were national champions.
Yeah.
Now you're putting a good coach who's won at all levels at a place where you can win national titles. He was capped out at Notre Dame. You're running into those Alabamas. You're running into those Clemsons in the semis, and what's happening? You're hitting your head up against the ceiling.
Yep.
With what you've got to recruit there at Notre Dame, you were at its highest level right there. He wants to be higher. And keep this in mind. He's 60. Saban's what? 70-ish?
Mm.
Like, I'll bet you that arrogant Brian Kelly thinks, you know what? I can be the next Nick Saban at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up. If Ed Orgeron and Les Miles can win national championships down there, and they've won three since Notre Dame won its last one back in, what, 88,
mm-hmm.
then I can too. I know that's how Brian Kelly's thinking. And LSU recruits itself. Hell, they're going to come as it is. You put a winning football coach down there that's won at every level, the thing's going to take off. At some point, Nick Saban's going to, I mean, 70 years old. At some point, you got to call it a career. Brian Kelly could take over.
Yep.
Possibly. So, yeah, I like it.
Well,
tell me the reasons you wouldn't like it. Tell me how this goes wrong.
The only question I have, and it might be overblown totally, you know what I mean? It may be overblown completely because we saw a guy in Ed Orgeron who fit perfectly, but it ended up being a disaster. I mean, he got lucky with Joe Burrow and Joe Brady.
And Brady, about the coordinator.
That really wasn't about him. It was about those. I mean, I know Barrett Jones would want to argue with me about that, but, like, look at the results, right, after they left. Not good. It's just a weird fit culturally, it feels like. You know, like he's not a SEC guy. He's from Everett, Massachusetts. Like, how is he going to fit in those living rooms?
LSU recruits itself, like I said.
But he can he'll have to hire some LSU guys, I think. That'll be important.
Well, that won't be tough, will it?
No, he won't. Yeah,
I'm curious, does he get Freeman and them down there?
Yeah.
You know, I think the odds are Freeman's got, you know, right now, he's the favorite, I think, but Luke Fickell's second favorite.
You know, you want to ingratiate yourself in some way, right? On some level, you have to ingratiate yourself.
I don't think it necessarily has to be your defense or offensive coordinator.
No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, your D-line coach, your LB coach, you know what I mean? Your wide receiver. Like, you have to.
Yeah, those are small things.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're talking about fitting in and it's going to be the difference between being a leader good, you'll get done.
You don't think it's at least a fair question to this, like, culturally, how he will be embraced down there?
No, I don't worry about
how he'll embrace it.
All they're about down at LSU is winning national championships. So with the way they can recruit.
That's fair.
You put some good coaching around it, he can have them back. And again, I would tell you, there's going to be, when Saban leaves, there's going to be a void there. And I'm telling you, Brian Kelly's banking on filling it as the coach at LSU. That's just makes all the sense in the world to me. And especially when you look at what was left to accomplish at Notre Dame, because I would tell you he wasn't going to beat, because of the way they can recruit, John, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Georgias, compared to what you got to do at Notre Dame with the academic standards and all that, you had hit your ceiling. You had maxed out. And so at LSU, you can go higher, win that title, and maybe take over as the guy in the SEC in a few years.
I agree with all of that. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer for him to go.
They'll love you down there as long as you're winning.
Right.
Right. It didn't matter that Ed Orgeron was of the people, right? Once Brady and Burrow were gone.
It did not.
They
didn't
give a damn.
You're right.
That he was a cultural fit down there. Hell, he's from down there.
Yeah.
So it's about the winning, and Brian Kelly's done that.
Well,
at
another level. You know, look, Nick Saban was from Fairmont, West Virginia. You know, it just didn't matter. He won. He won big.
Nick Saban won down there.
That's the only question I have. I think you're overall right, though, in terms of just the brand itself. I think it's a
hell of a – look at Woodward. Like, we said he's the big splash guy. He's the guy that gave Jimbo the big deal at Texas A&M. This is – you talk about big splashes. You just pulled the winningest coach in Notre Dame history.
It is
and
amazing.
Them folks still got a shot at the national championship.
It is amazing.
In a year, they still got the shot. You just pulled him over.
To LSU.
Like, that's – it's huge.
Yeah.
To me, it's way more impressive than what USC did, and I like that hire as well. I just think going and getting a sitting Brian Kelly in this year with them as good as they are, massive hire, I think is going to pay big dividends. Woodward's smiling happy day. He should fire up that cigar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.